you everybody for your help in singing that. Now, as far as a Sunday school lesson for today, would you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Father in heaven, we pray for the direction of your Spirit, and we pray that the truth of the scriptures that we look at will reinforce our commitment and our dedication to living for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray in his name, amen. Yes, you know, a lot of times there's a practical truth in this verse. Because somebody doesn't get caught doing. You know, a lot of people today, and you're aware of this, a lot of people today think that as long as you don't get caught, it's okay to do something. And because some people don't get caught, they continue doing it. And that's exactly what this verse is talking about. Because they don't get caught, there's no sentence against an evil thing they're doing. Or because maybe they've been caught in something, but they aren't immediately dealt with about it, they nevertheless continue to do it. And it's a heart issue. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And verse 11 says, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I mean, they are just determined that this is something they're going to do, because they either haven't been caught, or if they've been found out, but they have not had any consequence. This is why, and you heard my rant and rave on this a few weeks ago, okay? This is why I get so upset when something wrong is done by a politician, and they say, well, yes, we realize that was something that shouldn't have been done, and I take responsibility for that. And I said, no, you don't take responsibility for it. Because if you took responsibility for it, there would be consequences to the wrongness of your action. And because they've been caught, but a sentence against them doesn't happen speedily. And so in the case of a lot of politicians in our government, it never happens, okay? But nevertheless, what happens? They continue to do it because of sentence. Why? Because it's in their heart. That's what the issue is, okay? All right, now we got that out of the way. what I'm going to be dealing with today is the price of sin. There's a cost for sin. Now, this is true for people, all right? It's true for believers. It's true for unbelievers. It's true for believers who are living for God and believers who are just, you know, sort of muddling along. There's a price for sin. The first thing we'll look at is the fear of being caught. That is one of the prices that people pay. Proverbs. Okay, we're going to be looking at a lot of different scripture. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 28. I thought to myself, you know, because I had to find the pages, and there was a time where, you're not supposed to touch your face, you're not supposed to touch your mouth, and therefore you couldn't do this. And oh my goodness, in the beginning of COVID, I was so panicky, you know, how am I going to turn these Bible pages? And so finally I got over it. Now that's not to deny that COVID exists. That's not to deny that it can be very serious to someone who is diagnosed with it. Of course, we need to be keep praying for our president and first lady and others within his administration who have tested positive. I had a friend who just this morning, we got a message. He lives down in, where is he at? North Carolina. And he's in the hospital with COVID. He's a young man, okay? He's got a daughter who's in Bible college. And I'm trying to remember just what his age might be. I'm going to say he's probably in his early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. And he's in the hospital with COVID. So I'm not trying to make fun of and diminish that. It's just I'm so glad that I decided I can do that. There are some things that are important in life, and you say, well, aren't you afraid? I wouldn't like to get COVID. I wouldn't like to be diagnosed with it. But if it happens, I'll survive. You say, oh, you're in the danger category. You know, your age and you had a heart situation. The heart situation was minimal, okay? And as far as my age goes, it's all relative. You see, it depends on how old your relatives are. All right, fear of being caught. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So the wicked run away, okay? There's nobody after them. What do we say? They're always looking over the shoulder, okay? And their mind. Hey, that guy was watching me. That guy was checking me out. And he must know that I just, did shoplift something. And so the guy leaves quick, all right? The wicked flee. The fear of being caught. That's a price that you pay when you live in sin. Now, I just illustrated with a shoplifting incident, but you can take any sin, and there's a price to pay in the fear of being caught. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, Adam and Eve, what did they do? They hid themselves. Okay? Why? There was a fear that came into their life because they had become aware that they did wrong. Daniel. Oh, let's go to Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel. I'm going to look at chapter 5. Verse 5 and 6. You say, how do you know you're going to get over? Maybe what happens if you die of COVID? You know what happens? I go to heaven. Amen. Now that to me is not a problem. It would be a problem now to me because I wouldn't be around to take care of my wife. But I know our children will. And so if I were to get COVID and were to die from it, yes, you can shake your head and say, oh, that's too bad. But, don't get too upset because I beat you to heaven, okay? And I like the way John R. Rice put it, an evangelist who's now in heaven. He was walking home from a meeting one night, and a robber held him up at gunpoint. And he says, give me your money. If you don't give me your money, I'll shoot you. And his response to him was, you can't threaten me with heaven. And I don't remember what the outcome was, but I always loved that line. All right, Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and the king's countenance was changed. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote against one another. His knees knocked. Okay? That is something that actually happens when a person gets in a panicky kind of situation. And so if you were to now read, and we give the setting in chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone, the idols. Now that was his sin, and he got caught. In verse 5 and 6, that hand came. I mean, no wonder his loins, okay, and his joints came out, and his knees did knock. I mean, I don't know what would happen to me, but if I saw a hand, just a hand, come up here and write on the wall, you think you might pay attention? Amen. You better believe it. And right on the wall, I think it was Mini Mini Tico Eupharsin. You say, what's that mean? I don't know, I gotta read it here, okay? But that's what happened. And so in verse 7, after the king saw this hand, just the hand writing, the king cried aloud to bring the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and they said, come and tell us what this means. Well, they came in. Nobody could tell him what it meant. And finally, the queen, verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, in other words, she heard what he said about, we got to find out what this means, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man, and that makes a good foundation to preach. There is a man, okay? And in this case, that man was Daniel. And she goes on and says, there is a man in the kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. See that clarification? He had the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, under light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom King Nebuchadnezzar thy father's, I say, made master of the magicians. He put him in a leadership position, for as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of the doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Okay, Daniel's Gentile name was Belshazzar. Now, and let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. So, obviously, they brought him in, and the king spake to Daniel and asked, he said, are you actually Daniel? He said, yep, I'm Daniel, and I've even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee. And now the wise men, and then he goes on, you can go on and read the details of that. And then over in verse 25 is where, and this is the writing that was written on the wall by the hand, Mini Mini Tico Eupharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mini, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tico, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And Peris, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Wow. For a long time, Daniel just, you know, served down here. and lived in persecution. But now God elevated him up here to third in the kingdom. And then in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And what God said in the Perseus, thy kingdom shall be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So, fear of being caught. And no matter how big a person is, when they go against God, when they sin, there's a price to be paid. Okay, for a long time, it didn't look like there would be. Sentence against his evil works was not speedily executed, but God did execute. Now listen, Christian, you and I, if the Holy Spirit of God convicts us regarding something we are doing or something that we have done and may have stopped doing it, you know, there's a danger in that. Okay, sometimes a Christian, they'll do something they know they shouldn't, but then they muster up their strength and they stop it. And so then they feel okay, they stopped it. Have you repented of it?
Come on.
You see, it's good that you stop it. We ought to stop things that we shouldn't do. But we need to repent before an holy God. We have sinned against God. And so we can't cover it up. We can't live as if we didn't do it. If we did it, we need to repent of it and seek the forgiveness of God for it. And there's a lot of times people will stop something, but they just, what do we say? They can't seemingly get it together, and they just can't seemingly get any peace. It's good to stop it, but you need to repent of it. Okay, which involves change for sure, but it also involves acknowledging before an holy God that this thing I did was wrong and I should not have done that. Think about that. Because then who are we depending on? Well, we're depending on our own strength. And so I can go ahead and do what I want, and then when I want to stop it, I'll just stop it. And I'll go on looking like a good Christian. There's something
that's
not quite right,
right. Yep.
In that kind of situation.
That's right.
You see, I'm trying to think of who the fellow was. Joseph. He said, I have sinned against God and the king. Okay, was it Joseph who said that? Somebody said that. Okay, I've sinned against God and thee. And so we need to make sure we got it right. Okay, so the fear of being caught. Another price of sin is the dollars and cents. The actual price, we think of money when we say price, the cost of sin, and one of it is dollars and cents. Look at Proverbs, all right? Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. Proverbs 6 and 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. When a man goes out and lives, in this case, in sexual sin, and it catches up with him, okay? And he can't even get enough money to buy food, okay? The piece of bread. A man's brought to a piece of bread. Look at verse 24. Get some context to this. Often I love the way Pastor says that, because so often I'll give a text and then I realize, gee, I should have gave the verse before it too. And he says, let's put some context to this, you know. I love that. Because I'd always say, I actually should have started the verse before. And that's smooth. That's good. But in this case, I really am looking to give context, okay? I wanted to read the verse that gives the piece of bread. Now, let's put it in its context. To keep thee from the, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. That's a problem that men have. Okay, you've heard it already. Well, such and such happened to this lady. Oh yeah, and she was such a good looking lady. Does that mean that what happened to her wouldn't matter if she was ugly? Huh? And yet, you know, it's the way the mind of men work. Okay, and so, then verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Remember, Jesus said that a man committeth adultery in his heart when he looks on and lusts after a woman. Here again, Christians wrongfully think that as long as they don't do the act, okay, then it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters a whole lot. Because when a man's looking at a woman and lusting after her, what that's doing is keeping him from growing in the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so you can stop praying for Christian growth until you repent and deal with that kind of an inside attitude that you think you can get by with because nobody knows it. Okay? Believe me, we need to make sure, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of whorish woman, man's brought to a piece of bread. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? What's the old saying? You can't play with fire and not get burned. That's exactly what it's saying. You can't enter into them sort of things. And so the Bible is so consistent in approaching this. But the man is brought to a piece of bread. There's a price to be paid for sin. And if you'll turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 15, you say, I just can't get control of it. Yeah, you can. You just need to get closer to God. Okay, the issue is, and listen, you don't deal with those things that are in the mind and in the heart just by becoming more Christian active. Well, I'll just do more at the church. I'll read my Bible more. Now, reading the Bible is important. That's very important. But if you're just reading an extra few chapters to try to offset this bad without repenting of it, without confessing it to God, and as long as it's there, you confess it. You say, well, I did confess it five weeks ago, but it still plagues me. Keep confessing it.
That's right.
Because it is continuing to be a problem.
That's right.
And so, all right, now where are we at here? Luke chapter 15. Did I say Luke 15?
16.
All right, I'm in the wrong book. Luke chapter 15, verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He had a great time partying. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. You see, he was living high in the hog. He was doing great. But then circumstances changed. A famine came into the country, and now he was in a real pickle. You see, friends, we don't know. We can control our actions, but we can't control the outcome. And there are circumstances that'll happen in life that we can't, when you make decisions, you have to realize that this has got to be something I'm committed to God on, because circumstances in our society could change. Now, those who are following the political scene, anticipate some real big changes in the future. And so you just never know. You have to be real. Real Christian. It can't just be a matter of sitting in church and smiling. Now, I'm not against church, and I'm not against smiling, okay? But it's got to be real. If it isn't real, it's phony.
Right.
Okay, where are we at here now? So he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, got himself hired. And he, the citizen, sent him into his fields to feed swine. So he didn't need a job before. He had his inheritance. And he lived a high life. And then circumstances changed. And finally, he had to get a job, sell himself out to a citizen of that country. And that citizen told this Jew, you go to the pig pen and you take care of the pigs. If you know anything regarding the matter of Jewish living and life, pork and pigs don't go well in the Jewish context. But that's where he found himself. There was a price to pay. He lost all his money. He lost all his money. There's three common habits that cost and have a price to pay. Alcohol, tobacco, and gambling. Okay? And really, drugs, I guess you could say there, besides the alcohol, the tobacco, and the gambling. Our society is so anti-tobacco. And I'm not against that. But our society is so anti-tobacco. But there are more people dying from alcohol, okay, than from tobacco. At least anymore. Now, maybe there was a time before the big anti-tobacco push that may not have been true, but that is today. But you won't find politicians to touch the alcohol issue. And when it is brought up, the response is, well, we tried that prohibition once and it failed. There's still a debate going on regarding whether prohibition failed or not. But even if they'd approach alcohol the way they approach tobacco, it would be an improvement, but there's not. Gambling, oh my, gambling. It used to be you had to go into a dark part of town and into a seedy-looking kind of room. You knock on the door in order to be let into the gambling part. You say, how do you know all of that? I watch TV. Just so you know, I don't know it by experience. But today, you can go to brightly lit casinos, you've seen them, you've been by them. You can go down to your local store and you can buy $5 tickets, $15 tickets, scratch tickets, I'll just get to the, are there $1 scratch tickets?
No.
Huh? Yeah, okay, $1. Well, hey, I'll take my change and a scratch ticket, okay? And you've seen them standing there kind of, look, man, take your, go scratch somewhere else. I'm going to buy something. And so, but anyway, they'll scratch and then they walk away, dejected. But it was only a buck. Only a buck that time, only a buck the next time. And, probably if I got a $5 ticket, I'd have better luck, There's a price to be paid. The Bible is opposed to all of these things. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's a price to pay. What profit to pull all the strings, to play all the angles, to make all the right moves that we know are wrong, and but not care about the soul? What profit shall a man gain if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? There's an eternal destiny that comes as a result of the price of sin. Because a person, you see, that is persistent in living in these sins is not somebody who's in a right relationship with God. You say, I've been saved. I didn't talk about whether you're saved or not. You're not in a right relationship with God. And there's more to being born. My mother gave birth to me. I was a cute little baby. You can't deny that. You didn't see me when I was a baby. I was a cute little thing. But I was expected to grow. And I did grow. I got to the point where I could walk. And according to my mother, I was in everything. Okay? Now, that meant I have a very inquisitive mind. and you see, we're expected to grow. Spiritually, you were saved. You've been born again. That's wonderful. But you're expected to grow. Just the fact that you are ready for heaven. You know, God has more to this salvation ship thing than just getting to heaven. And even that part about getting to heaven, we need to be in a right relationship with God. Well, the old clock on the wall says it's time to end this class. So there are prices to pay for sin. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And I pray that these scriptures may be of help and of benefit. Any who may be struggling with any area and aspect, whether I've illustrated, touched on it or not, Father, your spirit is able. And I pray, dear Father, a victory for them in overcoming it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey. The Bradfields were talking to your wife on the chat. And I was like, are you okay? Are you feeling well today? And she said, I'm feeling rough today.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's good.
Separate. Yeah, it's eating like, what?
Oh, jeez. You like the hard hat?
Yeah,
that was the authority right there. That was.
See, the 11th through 16th.
He painted the stairs behind his door. I know about this awful white man.
We're really charity
and charity. Yeah, if you, so it's been rebuilt. If you go to the museum, yeah.
With that mammoth head?
Yeah, that's
see, they sound like a field, a farmer.
Yeah.
Flower.
That guy's
yeah.
We used to go so much with my mom, like, she would take all the time that I got sick of lectures. I got being sick of it. We just go every
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we would go, like, yeah. Every week.
Eventually, we started exploring more, and...
Is that...
Push me.
Like
a ghost.
But we eventually went and started going lower down from Mount Morris, like Mount Morris Dam. That was thinking for it. It's such a huge man making the movement over just so high to get it to work. But we started exploring with our bikes and going down into the canyon and walking around where it was. That was like a real lot of stuff you can do.